This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجي وما استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, let me begin by asking Allah سبحانه وتعالى for His blessings, for His mercy and for His protection on every one of us here today, for all of our brothers and sisters across the globe, and all of our friends in humanity, Allahumma Ameen. It is an especially concerning time for all of us, especially those of us that have children, and your kids are in school. You're concerned. cases still continue to rise. We are all concerned. There's so much happening and continues to happen across our neighborhoods and communities and across the globe. We are all still concerned. And so I ask Allah Azza wa Jal, at a time and in a manner that is pleasing to Him, for His relief and protection. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal Ahbab, there's a story of a young sister who accepted Islam in the United States. And when she was asked to share her story, she said that it was how Muslims and their relationship with dua, that's what attracted me to Islam the most. It was this concept of dua. And later on, as she told her story, she said, then something shocked me. When I became Muslim and I started to stand shoulder to shoulder and pray with my fellow Muslims, I noticed how weak dua is amongst Muslims in general. This is somebody who has been on both sides, somebody who was brought up that you say grace or you pray before eating dinner or lunch and before going to sleep. And she noticed this almost immediately. And so what I want to share with you is not just the importance of dua. I think we all know the importance of dua. But the thing that should be and must be, and I'm sure it is on all of our minds, how does Allah answer our du'as? What is it that you and I could do that could make us strong candidates? That when we pray and we ask and we make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will respond to that. You know, a short and simple answer is that we don't know an exact formula or something that you and I do or not do, that as a result, Allah will answer my dua. There's no explicit formula that we have. However, scholars do give us some pointers to follow. Some of the things that you and I, we can do to advance our dua and to strengthen that connection, so that when we do talk to Allah, not only does Allah listen to our du'as, but Allah will respond in a manner pleasing to Him. I want to begin by sharing with you a very beautiful statement of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, "Inni ahmilu hamm ad-du'a, wa la ahmilu hamm al-ijaba." He says that I carry with me the thing that's most important to me, the priority for me. Now remember, this is Umar radiallahu anhu. A man who you and I would think every time he raises his hands to Allah, Allah will respond to him. Listen to what he says. Listen to his attitude. He says, the thing that is priority to me is the fact that I can make dua to Allah. And the thing that is secondary to me is whether or not Allah will respond to my dua. So what is he really saying? Radiallahu anhu. And here is your first pointer. That if you want Allah to respond to your dua, that we maximize and take full advantage, that we actually have the opportunity and privilege to pray to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we actually have the consciousness and the awareness that when we want to speak to Allah, guess what? You could. And that's what Umar radiallahu anhu is teaching us and reminding us. That's the thing that I value the most. Whether Allah responds and how Allah responds, this leads us to a side point. You know, a lot of Muslims think that the answer should always be in my favor. Then Allah has answered the dua. But our scholars also teach us sometimes the answer is no. Because if the answer was always yes, if human beings always got what they wanted from Allah, then Allah reminds us what the consequence or the result of that would be. وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Mu'minun that if Allah gave us those favors and did that for us, responded to every need and desire, then human beings would literally cause corruption and it would be a system no human being could survive in. Nobody could survive and be sane in a situation like that. So it is by Allah's wisdom that when He responds to our du'as, that sometimes that response is no. Somebody may be asking for riches and wealth, and Allah doesn't give it to them. Why? Because you don't know what will happen in the foreseeable future, how you would use that wealth. You could say, and I could say all we want, no, I'll be sincere, I'll be good with that wealth, I'll donate, I'll give, I'll do good things with that wealth. But Allah knows us better than we know ourselves. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. Allahumma ameen. Here is another point that scholars teach us to help increase our du'as from being answered. The scholars then tell us that try to attach righteousness with du'a, or du'a with your acts of righteousness. So for example, if you're giving charity or sadaqah, it's a good time to make du'a. If you help a neighbor, it's a good time to make du'a. Every time you do something good, try to link that with your du'a, and it'll increase your chances. Why? Some of our ulama tell us that it's because of the mindset. When you're doing an act of righteousness, what are you thinking about? Most of us, if not all of us, we should be thinking about what? To gain the pleasure and reward from our Creator. So you're already in that mindset. You're thinking of Allah. You're connected with Him. So you take full advantage that as I do this good deed, oh Allah, and I ask you, oh Allah, give me, oh Allah, protect me. Your dua, inshaAllah ta'ala, the response is increased. You know, there's a famous hadith of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's narrated by the famous companion Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Three things happen when you make dua to Allah. And our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us, number one, Allah will respond to whatever your need or desire is. Whatever you ask for from Allah, Allah will give it to you. This is number one. Number two, and number three is really interesting. The second is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah will delay the response of your dua and instead respond to your dua on the day of judgment. And the response that He gives you on the day of judgment will help alleviate a struggle or pain that you and I could potentially go through, and may Allah protect us from that. And this is why there are several narrations that our scholars tell us hint to the idea that there will be a group of people on the day of judgment that will actually say to Allah, oh Allah, I wish none of my du'as were accepted on earth because I see the fruits of what it's done for me in the akhirah and on the day of judgment. And number three is that Allah will use your du'a and protect you or heal you of a pain or struggle that you're experiencing or going through, or you could potentially go through. So you might ask Allah, oh Allah, give me wealth. Oh Allah, give me this job. Oh Allah. But as a result of you just simply talking to Allah, Allah responds by saying, well, maybe I'm not going to give you the money or the job that you want, but cancer was on its way to you and I'm going to block cancer. And I will heal you or protect you. The virus was going to come to your home, but I will protect you and your family. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. There is another point that I will conclude with in the second part of the khutbah that I think is important. It's easy and all of us can relate to, that will help our du'as be answered and responded to by Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters, may Allah Azza wa Jal accept our du'as. May Allah Azza wa Jal respond to our du'as. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to bless our hearts and our actions with sincerity and devotion. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimina min kulli dham. Fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Finally, brothers and sisters, our time that we spend making dua should be the most pleasurable, enjoyable, and important time of your day, of your life. Because our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that du'a is the silahul mu'min. It's the weapon of the believer. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah describes what this hadith is talking about. Somebody has a weapon in their hand. They could be completely responsible with that, use it in a responsible way, or they could be irresponsible and cause harm to themselves and those around them. And Ibn al-Qayyim says that's what dua is. You could use it for your own benefit, but it depends on you. It depends on you, the holder of the dua. How do you want to use it? And with that, Ibn al-Qayyim continues, and our scholars teach us, and this is what I conclude with. Dua works when you know who Allah is. How do you know who Allah is? You know Allah that, for example, Allah is as-sabur, the source of patience. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of patience. So when your patience is being tested, you keep yourself together, you exercise patience to the best of your ability, and you're doing that with the heart and mindset that I want Allah to reward me. I want Allah to bless my patience. I want Allah to increase my patience, to strengthen it. When you do that, you know who Allah is. And this is why our companions, the great men and women of Islam, when they pray and we go to our shuyukh and we say to them, make dua for me. It's because we understand they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so do you. So you use that knowledge, that experience, that discipline, learn and continue to understand who Allah is. It will increase our chances of having our du'as accepted. I conclude, my brothers and sisters, may Allah Azza wa Jal continue to increase us with du'a, make us a people of du'a, and more importantly, may Allah Azza wa Jal accept and respond to our du'as in a manner that is pleasing to Him. Allahumma ameen. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين